I was practicing my lines.
Good job. Yeah.
You did good.
You got one place every time.
Any additions or adjustments to the agenda? No.
Water department update.
All right. So let's see. Our service line inventory. I just got the news today after 7 resubmissions, it's finally approved.
Wow.
Yeah. I think what they did is they go down to it, and as soon as they find one thing, they note it, send it back, and you correct it and send it to them, and then they start from there and go down again. So, but anyway, it's approved. The notices to the unknowns and the two galvanized requiring replacement went out with the bills. So we're all set with all that. The only thing left to do is we have to make the inventory publicly available. So I'm going to protect the spreadsheet and hoping that Terry can just put it on.
Well, we'll see.
Yep.
How many unknowns did you have?
21 total unknowns. And it's all Pleasant Street, Kennison Road, which is, they won't be unknown after we do the project, so we won't have any unknowns after that project.
Wow.
And you'll publish that on the website, Terry?
Yeah.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And speaking of going out with the bills, we read meters with the new system.
And
I think it went pretty well. On the field end, it went pretty well. There was a number of things that Terry had to get together with Nemrick and EJP.
Wasn't right? bad, though. Basically, yeah. It was reading 4 numbers and needed to be 5 or whatever.
Yeah.
And we did a lot remotely, Peter and I, just with him on my computer and going between Nemrick and them. And very easy.
So it's good.
And the tech support, like now dealing with the North Troy ones who've never read fully remote before, so it's getting out all of the numbers and everything in the system the right way. So we've got some work to do for the next time reading. We did do
for
some
North.
For North Troy, but the tech support is amazing. Like call in there, he's not there, but he tells you right in the message that if you're not getting me, call tech support, don't wait for me, because he's told us before he was on the road, and they're excellent. Very, very helpful. Pleasant.
Do they make those like parameter adjustments for you if it needs to read so many digits, or is that something you have to maintain from like an admin?
Never have to do it. Once
they
it's done,
do
it's
it
done. So he sat there and went through, I don't know.
Was Chip involved in it too?
Not that part of it. Not that part. But I was able to go in. We did call Chip. I did call Chip with a question on changing something, and he showed me how to go in and do it. And we just kept going from account to account and got them all lined up. And yeah.
So, I'm sorry. When you go and you read a meter, I mean, it keeps cycling through. So how do you know how much water somebody has used? Because it doesn't get set back to zero.
No.
It just keeps going.
Well,
so it's all stored?
Yeah, it accumulates right on the meter itself. You can register the meter.
But I'm talking about in the month. So even though it accumulates, how do you know what's been used in a month?
It subtracts last quarter's reading.
Oh, so it's all stored in a big database.
Your electric meter just keeps counting.
Holy crap, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But just the last cycle. I mean, you can keep...
Go back in the history.
Oh, so it only keeps it the last time. So it's only 2 readings.
Right. But you can go back in the history in Nemrick and see what the readings were for many... Many quarters,
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you, sorry.
Yeah, no. You just want to make sure you weren't getting overcharged for your water.
Yeah. I'm getting crap at home.
He wants to make sure Steve knows how to add
subtract. Yeah.
Bills up, what the hell, huh?
Thank God the computer does it.
See, I would check that.
Yeah.
If it calculates correctly. Let's go. Spot check a couple of windows.
There's only 120 something.
Yeah, just spot check 3 and that's out of time.
So metering service line. Oh, and Pleasant Street. So we had I sent you all PER for the 60%. We had a meeting with Mike Marner from A&E and went over it. He made a couple changes from the time we met, but I you should all have, there was, I didn't expect everybody to go through that whole report, because a lot of it's just boilerplate stuff, but there was several things, I think everybody has
copies. Yeah, the last four pages in your stack, right? It might not be in order, I was struggling to get them all copies in the right order.
So, there's one, the top of the page that says project planning, it's page number two, sheet number two.
Mm-hmm.
The census, so the population trends, if you go down to the last paragraph on that, in that section just above community engagement, you'll see that the average income, Troy residents' income is above the Vermont average. So we don't qualify for any subsidies through. And at the time we met, he didn't think we would even qualify for, so that means no grant money or anything. He didn't think we'd even qualify for 0% interest, but he since found we do. So that's a good thing at least. That's through the revolving loan. But I just thought that was interesting.
Hard to believe, isn't it? There's
a couple other grants that we have not qualified for because of that number.
Yeah.
And it's just
I can't remember what it
it's
was.
It's not a believable number.
Do you think that's based on people that have moved in that are working remote from different...
I think it's based on who did the census. I think it's
who they went to see in Troy.
Who responded, yeah,
who
right.
Responded
yeah,
to
an American Community Survey, five-year estimate.
We're like $9,000 above the median household income for the state of Vermont.
Yeah, no, that's...
I don't know if
but
there's...
But it's only as good as the people that
sort of
responded to that census.
And I don't know if there's anything we can do to, if we want to...
Like the percentage of university-educated people in the same thing? Was I like 80% or 90% or something like that?
Because they've responded and no one else
responded.
Did.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They wouldn't base that on like how many people live in our community minus how many people actually respond.
Or I don't know.
You have to have a representative sample in order to call it valid, right? I mean, you can't just, you know, go out and say, you know, whoever fills it out brings it back. I mean, you've got to be able to say, this is representative of your community, you know, from low to high. You can't just, right? You at least that's what I was taught in graduate school, and I would tend to believe that.
You're the one throwing our numbers.
Yeah.
You probably filled that damn thing out.
And you answered the survey, right?
Yeah.
Answered the survey,
but you know what
I
mean.
Like in the most rural part of the
you
state,
can't just
that.
Yeah,
yeah. It's you. Yeah.
Do you
definitely.
Want me to find out if we can
this.
Change? No. Yeah, I'll do my own. Yeah, I'll do.
Yeah. Find out where the information comes from, and if
well,
you want
the American
to send
Community
me,
survey. It says
it's online. I found it online because we lost a grant, and I was curious why.
All right.
It's if you look up, you can. I looked up Troy CDP. That's where I looked up, if I remember correctly. It was, you know, a couple months ago. So.
I'll take a look as well.
So, I don't know, maybe we can challenge it. And cause,
I mean that just...
It would make a difference if we could get some, you know, loan forgiveness or something.
I mean, $83,000 is the median household income for the
but
for the town of Troy?
Really?
0%
loan. Yeah.
And for the state, it's 73. I mean,
I want to raise.
You don't live in Troy.
Yeah. Oh, damn, I live in a gold town. I forgot.
Yeah.
Wow. That's still weird to me because I still think of you living in Troy.
25 years almost.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you had to live in Troy.
I'll still work here.
Good.
Okay,
so
sorry. Wow, thanks.
So that's one part of it. And then on it's page 16. The there's a table that's the cost summary. So that that just gives you an idea of what they're thinking now. That's actually just since we met, it's gone up $30,000. But he wasn't sure. But there's so many hoops you got to jump through now. We're gonna have to get some wetland delineation. There's all kinds of the archaeological stuff. So all of that adds up. But that's what we're looking at this point for the project cost. And that includes contingencies and everything. And then on page 17, funding options, you can see we have two options. There's the revolving loans, the revolving loan fund from the state. And with no, we can't get subsidies right now based on the census, but we are eligible for 0% interest. So he has a breakdown of what the annual, at the bottom of that, there's a breakdown of what the annual payments would be. It's $42,700. That's if, that's for a 30-year term at 0% interest. And that's SRF loans. And then under that is the USDA. That's another option. That's a little different. They don't even tell you what they're going to give you until after you've actually had a positive bond vote and everything. So, but the best we can do there is 4% interest, and a 40-year loan term would be $64,000 a year. So it's kind of a no-brainer at this point. And we're already on the priority list and for the SRF. We have been since the beginning of this program, so.
Is there not any grants that?
There's the bond bank. There's a potential we have until December 15th, I want to say, that we're going to try to get an application in. It's up to $250,000 per project. Mike is thinking that it's probably all that money spoken for at this point, this round, but he thinks that once they award it, he thinks by February there'll be another opportunity because there's going to be more money. So we can resubmit in February if we don't make it in this round. So we'll try to see if we can get our hands on any of that.
So what's the submission date for 2024? Or did it already have to be done?
No, we have until December.
You have until December.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're gonna try to get it in
this year.
We're gonna try to apply for it this year, and if we don't get it in that round, I'm not sure exactly when they'll award it, but again, he thinks that come February we'll have
they'll reopen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it'd be nice to try to get something together for December. That way, if we don't, then we're ready. We can just resubmit it.
What does it involve, Steve? Do you know? I'll
have to go over it with you.
Yeah.
I have some of the information.
We probably did.
They
it
have
before.
A, they had a webinar, but I registered for it, and when I tried to attend, I had to update Zoom on the computer, and it all. I had to do
that the other day.
It was like, well, never
you miss out. You miss everything. Yeah.
Yeah, but they did email me the slideshow or whatever, so I can go. So we'll see what's going on with that. And then the last thing is page 19, and it's the project schedule. And so in order to be ready to go to construction in 26, we have to semi-follow the schedule. The board will have to decide if they want to go to a bond vote, try to have a bond vote in March or November. Of next year, of 25.
Can't we do it at town meeting?
Would we be prepared to do it this March?
Right, we'll
probably
know
not.
More come November.
As
far as more, we'll have more finalized numbers and everything. So it can happen, but we have to find out. He indicated that now that Vermont does mail-in voting, that a bond vote is going to require us to send out ballots.
Oh.
So, because he said the state can make them up for you, or we can make up our own. We have to mail out ballots.
I meant to do that, and I totally forgot we had that conversation. But I will call Secretary of State's office tomorrow and find out if that's a thing.
Yeah.
Because
that'll make a difference, obviously.
And then if we send out ballots to everybody, then that means we can't talk about it at town meeting. You know that whole Australian ballot thing with like the North Country.
Yeah.
Budget where we can't talk about the high school budget because that's a whole, you have to go to their information, you know what I mean? It's that craziness. Is that what you're, is that right? Like if we...
I'm not 100% sure. This is just, he I don't know what would happen if it was on town meeting. If you had it at town meeting, I don't know if you'd have to do. I don't, because what are you doing for local elections and stuff for?
On the floor.
So so maybe
other than North Country budget, but we vote North Country budget all day long, Australian ballot. So we could, but you're saying it wouldn't be ready even for this month.
It might not. I think we'll know more by November.
November of next year, not this year.
But it's up to the board when they want to do it.
Because it says, hold public information meeting. So that's Australian ballots. I mean, that's exactly how, for school budgets, when we did the Australian ballot, we had to hold an information meeting, and that's, I don't know, there's timelines. It's a week before you have and it has to be within this time period. So the question for me becomes, how many people are going to come to that public information meeting, and should we be sending out cards or some kind of an information, right? Because if you don't know this is coming, and you get a ballot in the mail for a bond for $1 million, right? What are you going to do?
Right.
Well, what the hell is this for? How about that? Whereas if you had a card or some kind of, I don't know what it would be, but we did it for the school. Yeah. I prepared a little postcard.
Something that would say the water users would be paying it back, not everybody.
Right, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Send something out so people are aware, so that it's not just coming out of left field.
And looking at this schedule, it would have to be November, because otherwise you screw up your bid opening in January, because it wouldn't be ready for this March coming. So if we waited till the following March, then we've messed up. You're talking 2026. It'd be too late.
It's
too early.
It'd have to be this coming March or November.
Which this coming March, would we even be ready? Probably.
And there's no reason that we can't do it in November.
No.
And then we'll find, in the meantime, find out if we have to mail in ballots.
Well,
and then, so that means that the public information meeting might change, the date of that, because I don't think it's in March.
I don't want to, that will be important as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So, question, if we don't have the bond vote until November, January we're doing bid opening, awarding the contract, is 1 month going to give us enough time to get bids back? And what if you don't get a bid? So, I'm just devil's advocate here, is that the right time frame to get into these contractors' schedules to get work done, right, starting in May? I don't know, right?
It should be. I mean, that's what these guys do all the time. So
all right.
it would go out, they would advertise, it would go out to bid in December.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is not going to be a local, it's going to be a big job.
Yeah, oh yeah. So, yeah. I mean, anybody can bid on it, it's going to be local, but they have to have a bond.
Right.
They
it's
have
not going to be Dan Pepin, it's going to be...
Yeah, it's going to be big, but... Yeah. Which is more my point.
Right.
That getting to them in December for work to start in March, you may be behind the curve. I don't know.
I mean, do those guys two, three hours?
I mean, typically that's when they award, they go through the bid opening and off.
All right. So, I mean, that's the stuff I don't know. But
they
couldn't
bid it
just
a year ahead of time, because they wouldn't know the price of pipe, the price of fuel. They wouldn't. I mean, that's how they make their bids.
All right.
Because we know this year the excavator might be $150 an hour. Next year it might be $250 an hour, the way the world's going.
I guess that makes sense. They would want it within that time frame, and they don't book out.
Right, because all their parts and pieces, price change every day.
I mean, I could also, okay.
I mean, we go through it. It's the same difference, just bigger scale.
Okay, all right.
A lot bigger scale.
But along those lines, Mike He's more than willing to come and answer any questions. He said that he can attend a meeting anytime if it would be helpful. He's more than willing.
Well, we probably have the, if we did this way, we'd have the informational meeting like the beginning of November or the end of September or the end of October or something.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right, whatever, yeah, whatever the requirement is.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Home, yeah.
And I would like to just keep the option on the table that if we don't get a lot of people at the meeting, that we, you know, come up with a little information postcard. Do you remember when mm-hmm. I did that?
Yeah.
It was just a little postcard, and it explained what the bond was all about, just highlighting what it mm-hmm. what it was for.
Yeah.
I mean, if it goes like... If we don't, if it goes like, if nothing has changed as far as how you have to conduct the, you know, if we don't have to mail out ballots and stuff, if it goes like historically how it has, you're going to have four people from the village of North
exactly.
Troy come and vote on it, and that's it.
Yeah.
Nobody else.
But,
and they don't pay on the bond anymore. Yeah. They can live in North Troy. Yeah.
The reason why I bring this up is because, right, the Democrats and the Republicans, right? So the Democrats met to elect their leadership at the Capitol, or in Montpelier, this past weekend. And what did they say their number one focus was going to be? Remember? Taxes. That's number one. And if you remember what, right? Governor Scott and the Republican side are saying what? Education taxes, you know, school bills, and taxes. So, you know, us on the heels of that, sending out a bond thing that's going to increase taxes. I think we need to be very clear.
Water bills.
It's going to increase
well,
taxes.
But
only water bills.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But do you see what I mean, though? Yeah. It's all part of this, you know, Vermont's getting to be too expensive.
She sure yeah. is.
And so, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
we just want to make sure.
I don't have anything against the more information people have, the
yeah.
better, as far as
okay.
I'm concerned.
All right. Thanks.
When time comes, I'll defer to you to
oh,
write
yeah.
something. But
oh,
you
yeah, absolutely.
You know,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
But, I mean, Roger, when did they put a water line in Troy?
When did they put one
when
in?
When you were a boy?
No.
Like the
no.
villages.
They went through on my street.
Well,
8, 10 years ago.
Well, yeah, we just did Route 100 a few years ago
right. yeah.
again,
but you started
at the beginning. I mean, we found wooden pipe out there.
That's
so
what I'm saying.
Are you serious? Oh,
yeah, there's some wooden pipe in there.
Well, I remember
not anymore in use,
as a little boy digging up some of them lines when I worked for the town of Troy, and we got into some real messy situation
oh, yeah.
between the clay asbestos pipe
yeah.
and the... What did they call them? The log rolls or the...
Yeah, the wooden pipe. Yeah.
The wooden pipe.
Yeah.
I mean,
wow.
we even found some of that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then down
wow.
here in North Troy, it was even scarier than that.
It still is on Main
yeah.
Street.
Yeah.
It's still Main Street.
Yeah, we've
right
dug
here.
Under 100. We found wooden pipe. We found some steel pipe, not even like ductile iron. And we have found some AC. And then what's in
yeah.
use now? And then what was in use until we replaced it? So there's probably five different pipes in the ground there.
See, and that's important information to
yeah.
put on an
yeah.
information
yeah.
flyer.
Yeah.
I mean, this
well,
is what we're trying to
come
get.
Look at a water leak.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, I forgot, but here's some. If anybody wants, there's some plans of what the top sheet is. The top sheet is existing, except for where it says existing 8-inch DI water line installed in 2011. That never happened, so that's wrong. But that's the stretch that it would replace. So from the intersection all the way up Pleasant Street, and from about the Mill Street intersection, the rest of the way uh-huh. up Kinnison Road is actually, it's not the ductile iron. That's some
that's
of that.
That's
AC, yes, asbestos cement pipe.
Yeah.
4-inch. So that's what it would replace, and that would be, and that's where all our unknowns are on the service line inventory too.
Thanks, Steve.
The second
pipe.
Page is what they're proposing.
It's gonna be a big postcard, isn't it, guys?
Hand them one of these. Come bolt.
This is what we're doing.
Yeah.
Isn't this cool?
Yeah.
No, this is awesome. Thanks, Steve.
And but the only other thing I want to.
Mill Street too.
Mentioned
wow.
is
they're proposing this.
Okay, and all the way up there, yeah.
right now, that AC line goes down Kennison Road and then goes up Larry Berry's driveway, across his lawn and into the woods behind his house. And they have two hydrants there that originally they thought if they ever needed water from the original reservoir up on Reservoir
yeah,
Road,
yeah.
they could they jump those two hydrants in the hose and get water that way.
Wow. Then the reservoir collapsed,
yeah.
more or less.
Yeah.
But that ended that idea.
All of that will get eliminated. The main one down by the road, and there will just be a service line going up.
That's a great project, though. Yeah. Why we're doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, it shouldn't be a hard sell, but...
But there is one other important thing that he pointed out that you ought to be aware of, and that's we may need to plan to get a bridge loan, because even if it's approved and everything goes forward, the money might not be available until after the project's constructed. Mm-hmm. We just don't know. Right now, they're running into that. Some places are... And once construction starts, as soon as you get a pay rec, you have 10 days to pay the contractor, and that's that. So, and we won't know if that's resolved until the time comes. By 26, they might have caught up, and it might not be an issue. But he just wanted to make us aware that they've had a couple projects that have done that. They've, you know, gone partway through the project before they start receiving their funding, and... But sometimes it gets all the way to the end of the project, so.
So you'd have to do a bridge loan for the total amount.
Potentially, yeah.
But if you get, so you're approved for a bond by the voters.
Right.
And then can, if necessary, can we just get a bridge loan out?
Yes, because it's until you can, you've been approved to do, I'm sure. I would assume that'd be normal, wouldn't it? Be a normal thing, you know.
Then we don't have to have some sort of
second
separate approval or just, you know,
like
confuse
you do?
The issue by having a...
Right. Because we don't even know if it's going to be necessary, you know.
Right.
We may know more by next November, but...
Well, but we do a bridge loan for schools, right? I mean, we approve the budget, and then the next motion is... to approve the loan until we get our taxes, so.
That might be a question for the engineer. They must have that happen.
Yeah. As we go forward, we should probably have them come to a meeting at some point.
Probably would be a good idea.
You know, we can have some questions for them.
I just ask the municipal lender.
Huh?
Ask the municipal lender how that functions. I'm sure they do that.
Yeah. He told me that some towns they've had a couple projects that were over $1 million, and the town has the money, and they just, it's like, I don't know how we know, we're the richest town in the state.
Great, thanks a lot, Steve.
But so I think that was it.
Do you need to fax these?
No. So, yep, that was it on my list.
Okay.
Thank you, Steve.
You're
welcome. So Derek is still helping you or not? Is Derek done?
Yeah. This,
he's still helping you? Good.
Probably until, probably one more week.
Okay. Good.
Depending on what we
do. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, you do something. You do something like anticipated funds. Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
That's the way that's worded.
Anticipation.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks. You're welcome.
Yep.
Mike.
Okay. I haven't been here a while, guys.
Welcome back.
Other than that, our roads are all in good shape. Got all of our plow stakes up, getting ready for snow. Thank you guys for the pickup. We're going to enjoy it better than driving our own stuff.
Yep.
The next thing is our new dump truck.
Mm.
It's not going to be built until next August.
Jesus.
So we'll be lucky to have it next January. So I don't even know if they'll, do we put it back in the budget again this year?
2026.
So 2026 once the body is on it, because we're waiting for the body.
So International's not going to start building until August.
Yeah. Oh, not start. Oh,
yeah.
Not start, so you might not even have it for the 2026 winter. Well, like,
I was talking to the salesman today. He said, I said, so you're talking like first of year-ish? He goes, yeah. But, but I'm counting on midwinter. I mean, it's already been 2.5 years, right? Or something like that.
Yeah. Has it really?
So the payment should be in the budget, yeah. Because
yes, and so this is also, and you tell them, I'm just going to open this up.
Obviously, now we're a year older, price went up, newer, or whatever. I didn't have to say it, but price is up like almost $8,000.
Yeah,
from 223, 276.
Yeah, wait till we get the tariffs, it'll go up further.
No doubt, for sure.
Yeah,
and then, I don't even know, like, if I was talking to Terry today. We got a 21. Is it going to take 2 years for the next one? Do I have to order this one 2 years ahead of time?
It's worth looking into, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Because we're going to end up with a bunch of old trucks like we were, 20 years ago or whatever that was.
That truck right there cost us $7,000 this year. It was supposed to be traded.
Yeah.
You know, now we got to go another year and a half with it. It's bad.
Try to stay off the back road.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
The pickup will help you.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I should talk to him and see.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Just to see.
Yeah.
On that stuff. So that you guys will have to sign that so we can send it back in.
Oh, we have to sign it because they increased the amount.
So
what kind of a motion do you need?
It's like a purchase and sales
agreement. We need somebody else to get in the motion, not us.
Well, no, because we're expending more money.
Huh? Yeah, well, I mean, we just need a motion to sign the...
I don't even know what year that truck would be now.
Is the one we're getting?
Yeah.
All the paperwork's all going to be redone.
Of course, everything does.
Yeah. Everything.
Just,
probably not going to be a 2024.
No. How about if we just, I'll make a motion that the select board approve the updated documentation for purchase of the new dump truck. But because of the, you know, the
bill. For, you can do that. You can
for the amount of
$232,000.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We liked it better when you didn't come here.
See, you know, it's cheaper, huh? Yeah. I'm only talking $8,000. He was talking a million.
Yeah, we signed this one in September 2023.
Wow.
So 14 months ago.
That is be another whole year.
They're going to sign that. Right?
Yeah.
Or did you sign it in both? Am I right?
He said that...
What's
that?
The reason it's taking so long now is Allison only allocates so many transmissions.
Good job.
In certain build dates, so they're not even putting out transmissions till a certain day. It's foolish. So many engines for a certain day.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. So I'll be, not that I'm going to rush in and call him tomorrow, but I'll, next time I see him, I'll ask him.
Yeah, it's on your radar, for sure. And,
if what he thinks, if we should try to get ahead of the 8-ball, and because, like you said, we'll be having two old trucks and spending big money on repairs.
Yeah.
Because you can't work on them anymore.
Yeah, and then, you know, not necessarily as reliable. And
who is it that you deal with there?
Dan
St. Cyr?
Yeah.
Just find his email after all.
Yep.
Well, that's happy news. Thank you.
Yeah.
And they don't anticipate to see any improvement in how things are functioning. Yeah.
No.
Don't make no sense.
Newport Center's had a truck sitting at Charlie Boy since May, and it just barely went to the body shop. To get their plow couldn't come off a brand new truck. So it's not just Clarence.
Right.
It's the whole...
It's just industry wide.
Yeah. It's crazy. I don't know how you can get that far behind. I don't know. It's weird to me.
Yeah.
And the only other thing I was talking to Terry today about it is I brought it up last year, I think, about, I don't even know if it'll, the guys will apply, even if she wants to do it, but trying to see if we could get our retirement bumped up one level.
Should have waited, have Steve wait. It doesn't matter, it ain't going to be done tonight anyway. But we.
So that's what we have to have everybody agree.
Yeah, and so right now it is 6.375 out of us and 7% out of you. And 7% out of you, the town. And Group C is 11.5% out of us.
Jesus.
And 8.75 out of you.
And so that's what you're talking about, Group C?
Yes. Because we're Group B.
But yeah. Effective July 1 of this year. No, that's next year.
Right.
No, so effective in this next year's budget, it's going to go up to 11.75.
Out of our check.
For the employees.
And 9%. So this, you know, if we decided to do it, we'd have to figure out the split of the, you know, half a year.
I mean, from my perspective as a select board member, I don't have any problem with going there because it's concerned these days to retire with enough money.
Well, that's why I have this job.
Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, you make too much money. We don't need to retire.
Yeah, sure. but you know, if everybody else has to be on board because for a young guy like Justin, that's a big chunk of change.
Right. Well, that's what I was telling Terry. So I said, well, if we went up, they won't see an increase in their, like if we get our yearly raise.
Yep.
So they won't see an increase. They're actually going to take a little bit of a cut. But if they, like, of course, like you said, Justin Jung, he don't think about that no more than I did when I was that age. I want every dollar in my check. But now I'm almost 50 in a couple of months. I want that because the end of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's why I got this job. I want to retire someday. And
for Mike Montgomery, he'll never see the retirement end.
Right.
But it's great interest rate on the money that he's put in.
Well, if he lasts, how many years does he have to be to get invested?
I don't even know.
Is it two or five?
I don't know. I'd have to look it up. I'm not sure.
So anyways, I was talking to Mike from Newport Center, and they're on Plan C. And they didn't understand no more than we do because we've talked about it. And I don't have a clue how it works, and I've asked her 1,000 times. It doesn't seem like I have shit for money in there. It's, for 15 years, I think I'd have more than what I have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I want to go up, because another 10 years, it's time to retire.
Right.
And I ain't going to have shit for money. That's why I want to go up.
Yeah.
You know? Not that I'm anywhere near being well off and I don't need the money, but I'm okay. I can get by with a few percent out of my check so I can have it
later when I do retire. That makes good sense.
You know?
Did they not have an option as the workers to put whatever amount they want in it?
That doesn't sound it. That was my question, Kim, too. It
sounds like we have to be in the group. The whole group has
the
to
whole
go.
Group
the whole
has
group
to be,
has to do it.
Yeah.
And you have a certain set amount that they can contribute.
No. This.
They can't go above the 11 and they can't go below the 11. Or if you agree to the 11.
And the so, no, it's either, it's, there's those four different options, group A, B, C, or D, all it will be.
Right, so there's no flexibility on their end, like they can go and change it every quarter.
Right. No.
See, my wife's job, they had three or four options, and you can take out every person, you can say you want 2%, and she has
can have
10 or 12.
Yeah. That's how it is, like, in the private sector, too, right?
Yeah, that's just, she does, like, 10, I think, or... She's already gaining on me. She's been at her job for a couple of years. It's like, God damn. You know?
So I mean, really, it's selling it to
the guys.
Yeah.
And Steve.
But you know,
somebody come talk to them from
he's 60, so
yeah, exactly.
This would be an easy sell.
That's what happens.
That's what happened when Lee was retired.
Oh, I can totally see Steve going along with it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Steve,
like
definitely.
Said, it's
going to
be the young guy that
might need
a little more.
And so I do...
But maybe not, because Justin's dad worked for the state. He retired at 55.
Yeah.
So he already knows that.
But
they don't live a large life at all. They live in a camp off grid, but he retired early and that's what they wanted to do.
Right.
You know?
I think when we went up the last time that people that were currently employees had the option to opt out.
Oh, completely?
No. Just to stay where they were at, but any new people coming in would have to take the group C. I almost think there's something to that. We'll get somebody here.
Yeah.
Would you like to just sit with them?
And I was saying that Newport Center had a representative come from the retired company and they told them everything about it, and if you die, the money goes here. And
do they do that anyway for you annually? Like,
no, I don't even know how it works.
I just didn't know. Or per year request.
Group B is the best deal.
Get a,
Group B is the best deal.
Hard to understand.
Yes, because
Group
the town
B is
takes
the best deal
because
we pay more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But if you're like me and never retire, you're never going to pay it. You're just going to give it to your kid.
Well, yeah.
Not a bad
thing. We talked about it
your
today.
Your death benefit will be good.
We talked about it today. We could die at 55.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay. Die tomorrow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I just wanted to throw it out there and... Me personally, I'd like to go up.
And
I certainly would not object if I
don't know if we could go up this July. I think we have to put it in, and I don't think it goes into effect until next July, 2026, if we mention it now. But I may be wrong. But I know there's a you're always a year behind. You ask for it, and it's going to be a year later in their fiscal year. So I think it might not be until July, but I'll find out.
So is there, do you guys get a set percentage on this, or does it
vary? Like this, this money that's invested, what's your return? Is your return?
We don't know nothing
about
it.
We don't know.
We get
that's
a
why I think well,
apparently they're taking a little bit of yours out every year.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm getting it. It's okay.
You don't get a statement that
yes,
you're well, less invested.
Like I said, it doesn't seem
once
like
a year,
after 15 years,
a year.
So you think I'd have more money.
Yeah,
I don't have that much money. It's weird.
And how long did it take you to be vested?
That's what I don't know if it's two or 5 years.
Yeah,
I think you need a consultation.
Yeah,
from
yeah.
Would
be
from
because I've talked to her about it a few times. We just
you don't. We
it.
Don't know.
We don't
I mean,
know.
You
what
can
we're
look
doing.
At our statement and it's Greek. That's right.
Because it showed like when I started, they didn't even have it there, and then they showed from 2019 when we went to B because we used to be A plan.
Mm-hmm.
And then this, I asked her, so where did my other 8 years go? Where is it? I don't even show it.
Tell me, April.
She did say something about that.
She said it's there.
It's there. Yeah, she said it's there.
Did she say, trust me?
Yeah. It's weird.
Did she ask you to move it to a foreign account?
Yeah. Exactly. Bitcoin or something nice? But I don't know. I mean,
not sure.
I think that if we could get somebody to talk to us sometime, that'd be great.
Yeah. Yep.
Have a sit down.
That sounds
with all of us.
Definitely.
Other than that, that's all I have.
Okay. Looks like it's going to be a light winter potentially. No.
That's okay, but I wouldn't mind some snow.
Yeah.
The area needs
well,
it.
No, we need
yeah,
snow.
We absolutely need it.
I would rather have that than mud season.
Rain.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I mean, that's if we were talking about that today, you know, we used to use that grader only 5 months a year, now we use it 7, you know.
Really?
Yeah, we
they used it in the
winter.
Middle of winter last year.
Yeah. Mud season, and it's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, they're just calling for warmer.
Well, I think that's a new normal.
Yeah.
I mean, you go over the mountain just to get to Pittsburgh, they don't ever have to get snow compared to here.
Yeah.
As soon as you go down the backside of the mountain, it buries like.
Yeah. I mean, I walked on the Vash Trail all winter, like 3 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
Over there?
Over just on Troy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there was never snow. You didn't need snowshoes. You didn't. There was one weekend there were snow machines out. That was it.
I remember as a kid, we would have snow, like November, December. You would ride snowmobile, right? I mean, because we would ride your snowmobile through, like, after March. I mean, March, the town meeting, we were shoveling the basketball court off.
Yeah.
But there was so much snow.
And school now, barefooted and uphill both ways.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Mike. Have a good one.
You guys have a good night.
Okay, Tim.
Tim? Okay.
Yeah.
Just this question. I had spoke to Gaston. Well, I had brought it up at town meeting way back, and then I spoke to Gaston about this, having the tax bill maybe come out twice a year, or so two different payments. And I know there's probably a huge deal on your end, but I thought it was worth looking into.
Yep. And it was, by the way.
Okay.
So we looked into it. And it's very complicated. So basically, what we discovered was that you can't, in other than all the regular paperwork, we would be collecting November's taxes in November and the following May.
Yeah.
And so we would have to borrow money and pay interest on that money in order to do
from the November to May.
Because we have to pay the school bill.
Yeah.
Both school bills are, you know, is the bulk of our tax bill.
Right.
And they've got to be paid then.
Okay.
So we would be borrowing upwards of, $1.5 million probably.
Yeah.
Yearly.
So it would be costly to the town.
And there's no way to get the only other thing the one possibility is, we have to wait for our grand list to be lodged by the assessors, and it takes a time frame to do that.
Right.
So the soonest we could get a tax bill out would be maybe mid-August. We usually send it by the end of August, but maybe mid-August if everything went well and there wasn't anybody appealing to the BCA, then it takes longer.
Yeah.
And when you send a tax bill out, you have to give them 30 days. So the only other thing we could do so that we wouldn't have to maybe technically borrow money would be, one would be due October 1st and one would be due December 1st. That would be the only thing that we could do, and that really doesn't amount to...
you're looking at the 6 months in between.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
And there's no way to have it due the May before, like the May of the year that you're in, because the assessors didn't even put values to properties that had, adjustments made to it. But they're still looking at anybody that added onto their house or built a new house or whatever.
So I'm wondering, I'm just thinking it loud, but for the towns that do that, they've probably always done it, right?
It's just normal.
Because when we had property in Newport, we had it twice a year.
That's what Andrew did too. Yeah. Was it May and November?
May and November.
Yeah, so they must have always...
Exactly 6 months apart.
And this is the assessors doing their job are by state statute. So it's not like we could hire them to, can you come in January instead of April 1? It's got to be after April 1 when they start doing their work. So they must always have that 6 months
that people
are paying interest on, unless they have that money sitting there. Maybe they have a slush fund that's that big and they don't have to. Who knows? It's hard to believe. You think school taxes in Newport must be tremendous compared to ours, so they must borrow money.
Well, I was just curious. I know it's happened, and I'm just wondering.
Yeah.
But I figured there'd be a process that's costly at some point.
How much would it cost to borrow that money from November's until the 6 months? Mm-hmm. Our budget combined would be, general fund and the road fund, right? It would be a combination of those two. I mean, how much would
maybe
it cost?
The school.
School, too.
Maybe the school. Includes the school. You're talking the school, too?
Yeah, the whole tax bill.
So you're talking.
Yeah, because that would be a ton of more work if you were separating out.
And we also talked about the village is...
It would affect the village the way it got sent over to them as well. It would affect them.
And
we pay
the double pay, the double payer, they call it.
We also do, borrowing for the school, right? Because once we go through town meeting, right? I just mentioned that. We approve.
And then you borrow.
Yeah, until we get the taxes back in like November.
Right.
Yeah. And so you're talking about...
A lot of borrowing.
A lot of borrowing. Yeah.
Well, you don't get an answer unless you ask. So
no, that's...
Well, no, I thought
and we
awesome.
Learned
and we
stuff.
Learned, that's
just,
right. Yeah, we learned something new. Yeah.
No, I was really glad that you did send me that.
But
did
Terry,
talk
there's
about
nothing
it.
That prevents somebody from coming in and putting toward their tax bill.
No,
like
it gets applied
the
right to their account. Yep.
Okay. But you have the interest in between, like.
No,
if,
but I'm,
no. If it's late, you have the interest. You're saying she's saying beforehand.
Right.
Yeah. So if you
right.
want to come
yeah,
in
yeah.
May and pay it, guess at how much your half your taxes is. You can pay it in May and then
right.
be that much less in November.
Yeah. And that doesn't really cause more work on your part. You would just
it's
yeah.
just credited.
It would just be credited and then
And even the extra work to send, you're only sending one statement.
Right.
I can't believe it blows my mind that people keep track of that one statement with those two payments on the bottom, because most people can't even keep the one they get and 2 months later taxes are due.
Right.
But they only, because I questioned, you know, what our assessor, because he, of course, does it for other towns. So we asked him, and he says, no, you get one statement with a little
tabs.
Thing on
yeah,
two tabs on the bottom.
That wouldn't work for me.
No. that wouldn't work for me either.
So I do have one other question. I don't know if you can answer it here, and I don't know if you can send me in the direction I need to go. Is there any federal laws concerning these places that are coming up next to our building, our school? And if so, is there anything we can do about it, or do I need to look further into something? I don't want to put it on you, but I just need to know where I would go for that.
I don't.
There's
I
that
know.
Whole, what is it, 500 feet?
Yeah, but that's for, that,
that
that's not
about?
For illegal operations, that's for legal operations. I mean, the penalties are larger if you're busted, right?
So we wait till something happens and then...
Yeah, well, that's not really a good solution, is it?
I know, but I mean, and I'm not putting this on you, I'm just trying to get answers. If there's any.
We're being recorded. Fuck.
Yeah.
I think it's just out of our purview. Of
yes, it is.
What?
It is. But it's certainly worth looking into.
Okay.
I just wouldn't know where you look.
Yeah, because we had Vermont State Police and the sheriff here, and we talked about some of the houses, and that did not come up, that, you know, they're... I mean... People, right, you all were concerned about the proximity to the school.
Right.
I remember that came up, and there wasn't a response.
But if you were curious if there was rules, that would certainly be the first place I would
look
is the state police.
Okay.
Right? That's a,
I would hope.
Yeah,
I would, like,
right, because they might be able to point you in the right direction if they don't. If
okay.
That's certainly.
Just curious.
Because we've had conversations about... with other towns that experience the same thing that we're experiencing, but our situation right here is a little bit unique because the school is in the middle of the village where other, you know, schools aren't located near other residential areas.
And
so
we're
it makes
just concerned
it a little different.
With the new house that's going to take place right directly across from the school.
Yeah.
We know that evicted people are going to be moving in there.
I heard that too.
Yeah. And we also are starting to have users or dealers, they could be both, using the school grounds as their walk-through. And I followed some the other day, and they went directly to one of those homes. So what do we do with that? Like,
It would have to go to Sheriff Harlow, or
okay.
It would have to go to Vermont State Police.
I mean, I know of people that have made a few reports to the Sheriff's Department, and
well, that's interesting because
basically we're told, well, you know, thanks for your report, but at this time there's nothing.
But Eric and his principal's report for November had a statement in there that they had, that the school, you know, whoever they are, the school is, I mean, people working at the school, had seen the sheriff around town, law enforcement, more frequently
around town. No, they
So you have.
They're around. And I want to say, Halloween night in this town was amazing this year. For the longest time, it's been sketchy, and this year, I mean, you know where not to go.
Yeah.
But for the most part, the people that were open had made it very welcoming. We had tons of police presence. We had the paddy wagon was here. Like, it was good.
So I guess what the reason why I bring that up is I kind of wonder, like, just because you're not getting a response back from Sheriff Harlow does not necessarily mean that she and her department aren't looking. And so that's why I'm thinking, wow, you know, Eric said there was more of a presence in police. So combining what you're saying with what Eric said, you know, is it that they're now, you know, coming around a little more often to kind of see what's going on? I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
But I would hope that they would take that information.
So with on that piece, we at town meeting, will we be requesting for more funds there, or?
That's when we put the budget together.
Yeah, that we put the budget together December, January, finalize it in January, and we've sort of, I mean, we've asked her.
Awesome.
I mean, we've asked her, so.
Yeah. Whether she has manpower, right?
That's really
She wants to do it. She, but she's aware that we want to do this, and she wants to do, like, a by the hour thing, so that, I guess, so that when she has it, you know, so there's flexibility on for her, too.
Right. Yeah.
Right? Because of that issue.
She mentioned the manpower thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah.
All right. I'll contact her. I'll check in it with her.
And let me know as well. I'll see what I can find as well. I mean, if you send me a tickler email, then that'll be okay. Well, do you know what I mean? Like, it just reminds me that, a reminder email, that, look to see if I can't find something.
That's all I was asking. I just didn't know if you had
them. Yeah. I mean, that's why we had them come, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we did mention those things. And you all did too.
Yeah.
But very well, by the way, I might say.
Okay. That's all I have. All right. Thank you, Kim. Thank you,
Kim. Kim.
Hello, Kim.
Have a good night.
Yeah, you too.
Roger.
Yes, sir.
It is your turn.
Sorry. Okay. Well, I just want to give you an end of the year report. That's what went on this year and everything else. It has gone by, and they've done a lot of work here. A lot of it has been sort of on the blind side, which we don't see, you know.
Sure.
Cutting some of this brush back, and then there were trees that were falling that we had to take care of, or I had to take care of later on and everything. This year, I found that Mike Steyer and the American Legion did a great job in putting up the American flags
on
all our cemeteries before Memorial Day.
Good.
And, of course, it's hard sometimes for them to catch them all. And I had called Mike up because on the Evergreen Cemetery, he had only one flag up there. Of course, he lives just past the Evergreen Cemetery. And so I told him, I said, well, there's five more veterans up there, you know. Well, I'll see if we get a flag up there right off. Well, I said, you know, if you can get them to me, I'll get them up. No, no, I'll take care of them right now, he said, you know. So he's really been into it.
Agreed.
And after the first mowing that I did, I counted 8 markers with no flags in them. And some of these markers, the American Legion markers, they leave a lot to be desired, you know. I mean, the aluminum ones that they buy now, the shaft breaks off. The holders don't work and all that, you know. And so I told Mike, I said, well, can you give me 10? Because we've always got somebody that sees an American flag on a veteran's or on a grave, and, well, I haven't got one here, so they'll pull that one up and stick it over here. That has happened many times, you know. But I ended up using 9 out of the 10. I had one new one by the time I got done this year with and everything, you know. So I felt that they did a good job.
Good.
Cemeteries this year, they were mowed 14 times, one more than last year. Got started early. Like you said, we didn't have a snow. The grass was growing, and I didn't dare let it go till just before Memorial Day. So, you know, we started real early. I can't remember now. But... April 18th.
Wow.
We're mowing this year.
It never stopped.
And it didn't stop. It didn't stop. No. Even with the rains and everything else.
No.
We're fortunate that the soil on our three cemeteries is dry soil.
Mm.
We don't have to worry about getting in the muck and everything else. So go ahead and mow them, you know. So we're able to do that, and then the trimming. The trimming takes a lot of time, and the grass grows just as fast around the stones as it does the rest of it. So, no. We had one burial in the town of Troy this year. That was Mrs. Dot Maury.
Ah, Mrs. Maury. Yeah.
As you know, well, she was 100 years old.
Wow.
And she was a cemetery commission president at one time.
Wow.
She ran that cemetery, the one behind my house. She ran them all, but she paid more attention to the one behind the house because that was the active one, more or less, you know. So, we're going to have to look for somebody to replace her. We got Mrs. Pepin that took over, and that was to replace,
Grace
Crane. Yeah. But now, you know, we should have a full board. Although, you know, you people are on the board, along with myself and Todd Maury and Holly. And we've never had no real issues, but in case that we did, it'd be nice to have a full board. And it's just a volunteer thing, really. You know, there's no money in it or anything else, but it's just a volunteer, so... I'll put in a notice when I give my cemetery report that we're looking for another member to take over Mrs. Maury's division, you know. We did sell a double lot this year, which is the first time in probably, 6-7 years that we've sold a lot. And the only place we can really sell lots is the Troy Cemetery, because the one, the Evergreen Cemetery on Loop Road is too bony. There are rooms up there, but you need a backhoe to get in there, you know, and you might need a case of dynamite in order to blow out stones in order to be able to dig a grave, you know. I mean, so, matter of fact, Mrs. Maury had told me, don't bury anybody up there. And, of course, the 101 Cemetery, coming out of Troy towards North Troy here, we don't have any directions of who's buried in there. So it's pretty hard to, you know, put a new grave or open a grave up there, because as we don't know who's buried up there. And I can recall way back, my wife and I, we opened up that cemetery one year. I mean, the trees were taller than this building here. And I'd asked Mrs. Maury about it, and yeah, if you want, she says, go ahead. You know, I said, well, we'll cut the trees down and then get in there and bush hog the area and everything out, because it hadn't been taken care of.
Yeah, I remember.
You know, so some of the stones were on the ground flat. Some of them weren't even there. They were leaning up against the trees on the ridge line and everything out. So we stayed away from that one there, you know. So we more or less just left it as a dormant cemetery, just like the 101, you know. But going back to, we did sell that one double lot on the Jones division, which brought in $980. Wasn't all clear money, because something that surprised me this year was that, of course, we require cornerstones on all lots that we sell now. So now they're designated. We ain't going to say, well, okay, your lot is right here, you know, and just kick the dirt up and that's it. Get the cornerstones in, this is your lot and that's it.
Wow.
So, Cornerstones, the last I installed probably 7-8 years ago, cost $80 for four cornerstones, 6x6x6. Today, them four cornerstones are $300. Yeah. Was it $300 or $200? $200, excuse me.
Still.
That's yeah, $50 each. It was $200 for four cornerstones. And I even went on the internet just to check them out. And you could buy two for $100 on the internet. And how reputable are these cornerstones or anything, you know? I've been working with Scott Bianchi. I worked with the Bianchis before.
I agree.
Absolutely. And you know what you're getting.
They were just good and everything else, you know.
Local.
And Scott said, you know, you want me to put them in? You go and put them in. Well, I says, but he says, if I put them in, he says, they're going to cost them, the customer, $380. And then it's $175 installed, to put installed, plus tax. If I sell them to the town of Troy, I'm selling them to you for $200, no tax, and you install. Well, I said, let's do that. So I ended up putting them in. You know, I had it all marked out anyway when I finally convinced these people that, yeah, that's the lot that they wanted. And they had a lot of questions. You know, well, does that include interment? No, it doesn't, ma'am. No. Does that include the headstone? No, it doesn't. Well, who pays for them? You do. You know, people are very inquisitive, and they don't, of course, they're not something they deal with every day.
Sure.
So they don't see it, you know.
And it's sensitive.
And they just expect if they buy that lot, and yeah, $1,000 is a lot of money, you know, when you get right down to it, because the lot itself was $500. That's worth two people. And then, of course, we had perpetual care, which is $100 per lot. There's two burials in there, so that's $200. And then we had the four cornerstones, $200, plus the installation, comes up $980. So, you know, time you educate these people, and then, of course, they're going to come back. And this particular party, she wanted her children involved in this also, which you can't blame them. So, okay, you know, so I played with them three, maybe four times before she finally said, okay, how much is it going to cost me and all, and give me a check, and that's it, you know. So we went that way there, and it worked out all right, you know, and I don't mind working with the people, you know, but try to explain to them that, all these things, you know, they just figure that when they buy this lot, they're going to be buried in there, and that's it. And you're going to put up the headstone ring. That isn't the way it works. That isn't the way it works. And there's no way we can educate them, you know.
So when you do the cornerstone, I'm presuming that you put them on the inside corner of the lot, right?
It's on the outside corner of the
it's
lot.
It's on the outside.
Yeah.
So and it's over includes, here.
Yeah. Like the ones that bought, they had bought... lot 34, there was a single burial next to them, and the cornerstone was right there, sitting right there. I took the new cornerstone and put it right here, and then
wow.
The other cornerstone went over there.
Okay.
And you've got a foot walking distance.
Right. So, all right.
Around it, you know, and the same thing linear-wise. So it measures out to 9x10 on a double.
That's what I was wondering.
On a double lot, you know. And that includes a 1 foot walkway around it and everything else. So
one more question. So when you put the cornerstones in, how high off the ground are they, or are they flush
with
the ground?
Flush with the ground.
Flush. Right.
My lawnmower blades don't like.
Well, Lowell, that's what I'm sort of.
Yeah. And they work their way up. You know, I have to go back every year. And after the first or second mowing, and you hear this ding or something like that, you got a stone, the frost has brought it up.
Okay.
So you've got to, you know, dig them back down. It's not much of a job to dig back down again. Usually I just use a little garden trowel. And I made a special clamp that I can slide right down on the sides of this cornerstone, crank it up, and pull it out. And now I just use a garden trowel and just
dig it
out a little bit more, take a tape measure, get it down maybe half an inch. You don't want it down too much because the next thing you know, the grass grows over.
Yeah, and
then you don't see it, you know. So, get it down to that.
Thank you.
Yeah. But, no, this year, most of our work, my work, was concentrated on the K division, which is the smallest division in the Troy Cemetery, but is also one of the oldest divisions in there. And it dates back to the 1870s.
Wow.
And the stones are black. You know, I mean, it's a hard time getting these stones to clean up. And I put two treatments on them this year. Can't do much as far as pressure washing because these stones are soft materials. And unless you use just a mild pressure washer, you're going to be pulling everything out, you know. And some of these stones I found this year when I went up there with the frost and everything else had tipped over. And we had one that was destroyed 2 or 3 years ago. And it was a double stone, good-sized stone, put together on a concrete base. It was a concrete base. And one stone had just fallen right apart. There's no way of putting it back together. The only thing I could do was stack them all up, put the stones all together right on the edge of that, and leave them there, you know. I know the Yankees have said that they have special markers that they can mark stuff with, but being a stone in the 1800s, nobody's going to want to, you know, research it that much. If they do, well, they just have come, I can find it here in the book, it's in the book, and instead of reading it off a stone, I have to read it out of the book and the card, you know, go from there. So, did have one issue this year with the Evergreen Cemetery. I went up there to mow that cemetery on the beginning of August.
Which one is
Evergreen? And something,
Which one is Evergreen?
The Evergreen is up on the Loop Road.
Ah, okay.
Okay.
Yep.
And got up there and something didn't look right as I drove up. So I unloaded the mower and I backed out. And I looked again and I had a whole bunch of trees that had fallen over. Popples, 6-8 inches, broke off halfway. It was with the heavy winds that we had, you know. Well, ain't no way in heck I don't have anything. Didn't bring a chainsaw up with me, didn't expect to. So I was able, luckily, none of the trees had fallen on the stone. They were real close to it, but they weren't. So I mowed around them and everything else. Then I went back up a couple days later. I put the grapple on the tractor and clam like for the bucket and took a chainsaw up and I bucked these up. They weren't our trees, they belong to the neighbors, but I just bucked them up to where I could handle them 4 or 5 feet with a grapple, bunch them together and take them and put them back in the woods and let them take care of them. You know, the people that own the property next to that Evergreen Cemetery are from New York, and so I have never seen them up there or anything else, so I just let it go with that, you know. So we had to get that one that cleared off and everything. Eventually, in another couple of years, we're going to have to start treating these stones again.
Yeah.
We started with the Troy Cemetery years ago, and it's cleaned out good. Some I was able to pressure wash because they were good stones and everything. But they're starting to show signs, and I think before we get involved and let it go back and progress back to where it was before, it's just a matter of going in there and spraying them with wet and forget and leaving them. And I think one treatment, maybe next year, I've got to order another case of this wet and forget from Agway. And we'll go ahead and, if I get the time, I can do a certain sections or different sections, you know, and start progressing and getting that all done, because over the years brought the cemetery back up a lot, and the Evergreen was the same way. And matter of fact, the 101, I just use a pump sprayer because it isn't worth taking a tractor, while it's a lawnmower that I use with a trailer, a tank, an electric pump on it, and going up there with a wand spraying all the stones, you know, and everything else. So I just use a pump sprayer and There's probably 20, 25 stones, and they're old stones anyway, but they seem to clean up good, so.
So do you just spray this wet and forget?
That's just what it says, and that's just what
you do. Walk away?
Yeah. Eventually, you know, when I first started, we were able to pressure wash these stones. I was in the newer sections, the Man ABC, Jones Division, and those are harder stone, you know, monuments and everything else. And they would stand a pressure washer mild, and that would clean them up in good shape and everything else. And they're not bad right now, and I just with the wet and forget, I think we can take care of it, leave them go for the year, you know. And I did some in the K division next to the K division, the other division next to it. I did some of them in October last year because that's also part of the old cemetery. And I didn't have anything to do that day, and I still had some wet and forget left. And I said, well, what the heck, give it a try. And even with the cold weather, you know, it worked. It worked, you know. So it took all winter, but who cares?
Yeah.
You know, so I'm saying this year or next year, you know, I'd like to maybe start retreating some of these stones in the newer division. That's where people are coming to visit, you know, more or less.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, I cleaned up the cemetery and everything before the 1st of November. The only thing I left up there was the solar lights. And those, I don't mind leaving solar lights up there, but we had different things. There were people that left hanging basket brackets, windmill brackets, stuff like that. So I took them all out. The flowering pots that were dead flowers in them, took them in the back, got a place there where I can dump them, you know. But any of the, not trinkets, but the things that we'd use that I felt might have been valuable or something to them, I put them in the shed. And so this way here, if later on they come in, you know, they ask me, you know, what happened to the windmill? It was on my parents' grave. Oh, you want it? It's in the shed, you know. You can pick it up there, you know.
And they picked up the flags?
No, I have to pick up the flags.
You pick up the flags.
Yeah. I didn't know what would happen this year or anything else. And none of them were getting picked up. I was down to the Catholic cemetery in Lowell.
Yeah.
And I happened to notice there weren't no flags on any of the graves down there. And I said, oh, somebody's picked them up. A few years ago, Pete Salter's wife.
Yeah, Linda.
And Cole, Mrs. Cole.
Yeah.
They picked them up, you know. But when Mike, he put them out this spring, but there was nobody to pick them up. And finally I said, before the winter comes, and then they're picking up just the flag without the staff here and there because the staples after a while, they don't hold, you know.
Yep.
They have, you know, the Legion bought some good flags this year, you know. I mean, I can't complain. They held up good. I had a few that got tore apart. And the wind's going to blow, and it's going to take some of them apart. It's going to pull some of the staples out, but what do you want, you know, I mean, do with what we got, you know.
Yep. The sad thing is that the, you know, the brass, because they used to be brass veterans.
The older?
Yeah. And people are stealing them.
Yeah. There's one stone up behind my house.
For the brass.
That it's aluminum, and the eyes for the holder for the flag are gone. They got broke off.
Oh, because it's
so
aluminum.
So they stuck it in the ground, you know. Well, out of the way, we come around, you're hitting it with the mower and everything. There's got to be a way I can fix this, yeah. So, thanks God for nylon ties. I got two small nylon ties.
Oh, awesome, yeah.
And I tied them right to the to the shaft of the American Legion emblem and the stake onto that. So that tucked it right in there and everything, you know.
Oh, that's good. All right.
So I was able to do that. One of them, I had to whittle it down because the shaft was too big, and this one flag holder, the eyelets are too small. I mean, I tried another flag in it, and it wouldn't go.
So you need
so
one of them.
So I took my pocket knife, and I whittled it down, and it's there. Set it in there. You know? And it stayed there all summer long. I thought it might break off, you know.
That's funny.
Yeah. So that's all I've got. I close the gates on the 12th of November after Veterans Day. And we'll see what we can do next year. If it's any questions or...
No, I think it's just a thank you.
Yeah.
Well, it's awesome. No, I don't mind doing it. I don't have anything, you know, I ain't going to say I got anything else to do, but that alone will keep me busy quite a long time, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we really appreciate it.
Yeah, it is appreciated.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'll leave
thank you
for tomorrow.
Thanks, Roger.
All right, thank you.
So that wet and forget, I'm eyeing the Troy school big monument.
Yeah.
That thing is starting to look a little bit dated, and so that's why I was asking Roger about this wet and forget.
I bought them to clean my shower because I have a shower version.
It's good stuff. But it's expensive. It's $32 a gallon at
Or is it?
You can buy it if you show up about the same price.
Okay, because I'll send that to the principal and just say, hey, can we...
Smaller ones taxes. This
and
is
one
water.
Gallon will make...
Circle the ones that are more than a year.
It's 6-to-1 mixer. So you're getting 6 gallons out of 1 gallon.
Yeah, 1 to 6. Thanks, Roger.
Yeah,
you too.
Yeah,
I wanted to do something like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. While we're on the flag, Mike has sent his request for appropriations and asking for 600 this year instead of 5. It's been 5 for many years, but the replacement flags have gotten more expensive.
Yeah, which makes sense.
Reasonable. Yeah, so I wanted to put that out.
And then hearing what he said.
Yeah.
Confirms that this is the right thing to do.
Yeah. Yep.
I would support it anyway. Sorry. Would you expect anything
less? I would not expect anything less.
Well, make a motion to send them all tax sale.
Yep.
That's a straightforward sort of business there, ain't it?
Yeah. So, Kevin Weaver is the Nick Bouchard property at the bottom of 242, and that's supposed to be paid by Nick, by the attorney that didn't put it in the sale.
Yep.
She's supposed to do that before the end of the year, before we bring these, but I'm going to send these to her, so I'm going to include it so she can either, it's going to be included, and she either sends a check or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And then water, sewer, the ones I've circled, they need to be at least 1 year delinquent. So the ones that I've circled are, in fact, if you look at the one, the current and then the over 120, it, gives you that, that it's more than. So those can go in as well.
So the circled ones go in, Terry?
Mm-hmm.
The circled ones will go in.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
Yeah, just 5 of those.
Okay.
Well, that ain't too bad.
No.
That ain't too bad.
So, did you make a motion?
I did make a motion.
I'll second it. Did you second it?
I don't.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So with the MERP thing, which is next on our list, we have a contract. We didn't get all the money we requested. We don't know why. They don't want to tell us why. And we don't really have much clarification on what we can spend it on. And we don't have much of anything.
And we can't get a copy of the original application that we sent to even know amounts that went with this, that, and the other thing.
Right.
We
can't get any information. They've reviewed it. They've determined this is what we get. They're not sharing as to why they determined that.
So Just remind me, is this the one that we met with the lady, and I thought it was like a half a
Yeah, it was supposed to be
up to $500,000, and we did apply, and Terry and Carter and I sat here, and we made sure we did everything so that we could get the $500,000, and we didn't get the $500,000. We got $340,000. But we're allowed to spend it on everything that they've included in the scope of work. And in the scope of work, they included everything we talked about.
So it doesn't make sense.
So it doesn't make any sense that we didn't get it. Okay? But they're not telling us why we didn't get it. They're not sharing that information. We can request, request to speak to them about the amount, but not until after December 16th, and we have to accept this money by December 16th.
So we can ask them questions
after
the 16th.
Before. We can talk to them about it.
Right. They're going to release a frequently asked questions document at some point in the future.
On the 15th.
Yeah, probably. And I don't know how much use that's going to be. I did email them, but I got a completely unsatisfactory answer.
Can we what do they call that?
Submit?
Like rebut?
Oh, do a rebuttal.
No, well, the problem is I can't rebut anything because I don't know what I'm rebutting, because I don't know why we didn't get the full amount. And they're simply, basically they've told our RPA, who's Carter Finnegan from NVDA, that they don't even want to talk to us till after the 16th because they're too busy. Because they're too busy trying to get this lined up.
We have to accept this before.
Right. And I mean, so, the thing is, we're going to accept it.
Yeah.
Right? We're not going to walk away from
$340,000.
Exactly.
Sure. But, I mean, it was sort of sold that we were...
We are the highest energy burden. We are one of the highest energy burden towns in the state. There are towns that are medium energy burden who got everything they applied for.
Do you think it's timing on when we applied?
No,
we were one of the first. Yeah.
Okay.
We were one of the first.
Do you think it has anything to do with that census number?
I don't know. It's not supposed to, because that's not what they were basing it on.
Okay.
They were basing it on the energy burden. That's what that was.
Solely the energy burden.
Yeah, that's what that was based on.
Wow. So, like you said, we'll accept, because we're not going to just leave.
Yeah, we're not going to leave that
on the table. But after, I wonder if there's just room to, when we can ask questions, if we could get the rest.
So the only way that we're going to get the rest is that if some towns
don't
accept it.
Oh.
Yeah, I was wondering.
But will we get the rest, or will they take the applicant that they bounced at the end that didn't get anything?
We
just
know.
Right,
we wouldn't know.
We don't know. We don't know whether we'd get any more or not.
Well, that's a little disappointing.
It's a little disappointing. It's a little frustrating because they won't tell us why. So we sat here with our RPA, who was, you know, basically our advocate in this case, and we did everything in order to make it work, and it didn't work. And so why? And, you know, it's just frustrating that they won't say why.
Were you at the first meeting with us with Steve, or was it just Steve and myself?
Oh, it seems that I attended.
It seems like you attended the very first meeting.
Yeah, there was
meeting.
Something I attended.
It's
again, it was...
Didn't it seem like it was Gaston
that
attended
was,
that first meeting?
It sounds right.
And what they said, the biggest thing was, only pick one building. You can't
have
more than one
building.
Yeah,
I remember
that. Jay got three buildings.
Yeah, everybody else has multiple
Everybody has multiple buildings. But we were specifically told
absolutely not. Because we had other buildings that we were considering.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, nope, pick one.
Concentrate on one.
Right.
Pick
and
one.
You guys had two buildings looked at.
Right.
But
concentrated on the one because you were told it had to be one.
It had to be one. That's right. Yeah.
And then but that could have been something that changed down the road, like everything else changed down the road.
Yeah, everything
and
changed down.
And Carter just didn't fail to share it with us.
Right. And would it have mattered? Would we have done another building? Probably not.
We could have said, okay, we're going to do the town garage. We're going to take out that old oil furnace they have in there.
True.
And put in a more efficient.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? And they could have covered that, right?
Yeah.
Because that would have been more, that would have been right,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
So.
Yeah, that's true.
So I guess the question I would have is, does the difference, the $160,000 difference between what we were hoping to get and what we're actually getting, does that difference, would that help us to achieve a lower energy burden?
Absolutely.
Get what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So we had to focus on energy. And we could use a portion for ADA, up to 20% for ADA. And so that's what we looked. And because we were talking about solar panels on the roof, in order to support those solar panels, we had to replace our roof, right? Put a standing seam roof, you know, so we weren't taking them all off 5 years down the road. So that's how we did it. And then, like, the ARPA money that we had would be for some of the interior work that we plan to do along with this project, because, you know, like a new counter doesn't fall underneath the MERV grant, right? So that was the idea, so that everything that we applied for fit it. And that's what we did, you know, along with some of the things that they had suggested, like battery backup and an EV charger, right? So that was in there. But those were specific line items in the application. So
the granting agency for this, didn't it come from the Vermont Buildings?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right?
BGS.
Yeah, BGS.
Building and Ground Services.
Is that who you talked to?
I emailed Doug Wells from Building and Ground.
So who does Building and Grounds report to?
I
would think
the legislature,
the governor.
The governor, something, yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if reaching out to the governor's office.
Well, we can get our new senator to do it.
Well, he's not a senator yet.
He's not.
So that's kind of what I was thinking. You know, could ask one of the other legislators, when does Bobby finish?
I don't know when they do their thing.
Is it
one day?
January?
Same time as? I don't know.
Because when does the legislature go into effect, right? When do they start?
I don't know. I mean, again, the
because
Democrats.
Because federally, it's before.
Right.
Federally, it's before.
Yeah.
Because that
I mean, I don't know. I just feel like, to me, if in fact the $160,000 that is left that we were expecting, mm-hmm. and because we're very high on the list, we should be, you know, given, you know, whatever we need to really reduce that. And if they're cutting our hands short of reaching that potential, then somebody's not living up to the purpose of the grant, right? I mean, mm-hmm. if the point is to get us to half, if we're only supposed to get the half, well, okay, thank you. But, I mean, I thought the point was to get us down because we're so high.
Right. So do you have a breakdown? What did it cost? What was it for the battery? Do you have that?
Let's see if I have it right here. I don't.
You what? Oh. Am I asking a weird question?
No.
No. You're asking a question that I asked in a different way,
But I did not get an answer. So we go through, this is the village. This is the town. I don't know if this is. This is the new one.
Did it have something perhaps to do with the energy audit that we had?
Well, you said arson, was it?
I don't think so. No, because they recommended replace the windows, do this, do that. No, I don't believe so. Do you,
what's
Robert?
That? What's the question?
It wasn't because of the energy audit that we had, because they found
the windows, energy the audit. Yes, the energy audit, which everybody agreed, were almost useless. Firstly, they contracted with different companies, and so the different companies provided different information.
Exactly.
And so that you were comparing apples to oranges, right? So that they weren't really that useful.
You saw the guy that came. Yeah, you met him.
Yeah, I met him. Yeah, he did whatever he did.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that was. The battery is not separated, is it, in this document?
No.
No, it's not.
So there is nothing anywhere that says once you get your award notification that you can't, you know, redress the amount to see if it can't increase.
Okay, so I did mention that to Carter. Because it says this one, and nobody's spoken about it, but I will find it. I will try to find it, and you can read it. It's a cover letter that came with these documents.
Oh yeah.
It came from BGS.
See, I don't think I ever got that one.
No, you didn't. That came. That was for the town one.
Right.
And it came from BGS.
And you forwarded that to me.
Can you forward that to me, please?
I am in the wrong thing altogether. That's why I can't find it. So, this is the cover letter. And where it says, please review.
The grant agreement.
It talks about reviewing two fields. Is that there?
The what?
It talks about reviewing two of the fields before it gets down to this part. Before it gets down to the attachment, yes?
I think I read that, yeah. I was looking for a statement that says, you know, you have a certain amount of time to be able to...
Please confirm that fields 10 through 15 have the correct information.
Yeah.
If not, please revise. Field 10 has been supplied by the state of Vermont.
So
please confirm that the amount in field 28 is correct. Now, that's the cover letter that came with that.
and that is Field 28. That's the award amount.
So we write back and we say it's not correct.
No, it's considered interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, they have told Carter Finnegan that they are not changing those amounts till, and if there's any chance that they're going to change them, it's after December 16th. But
we have to accept this no later than the 16th.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so what I'm going to ask tonight is that the board authorized me to sign it. Hopefully the fact document will come in the next couple of days, and maybe give some clarification. I doubt it.
Yeah, I'll make that motion.
Okay, and then the only thing I don't have to correct Field 28
is the
total of
because we can't get your application.
We don't have the application because the application was a fillable file that was done on Carter Finnegan's computer, and she can't access it. I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe it's direct to another platform.
Maybe. That's right.
That.
And she just filled it out and submitted it, and away it went. Yeah.
I find that a little surprising that she wouldn't have a copy.
She can't. She doesn't have access to it. It's like you couldn't be copied. Remember, it was page, the way you, there was no spot to print in. It was like
it was not a printable. It was not a, no, it was not printable.
Nothing.
And so I don't know. I mean, she did send us copies of the narratives.
Yeah. Huh. I don't know if the villages is even the total amount. Probably.
No, we don't know. We know it's close, but we don't know. I mean, I assumed it was a little bit more because we got it as close to that as we could because we had to take stuff off the villages.
Right.
The village did get
$466,409.03.
Which is three a newer cents. Building.
It's a newer building.
It's a newer building, yeah. All but right. You, if you look at what the towns around us got, they all got close to $500,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is kind of crazy.
Yeah. You look, see what Jay got.
Yeah, like
they got just shy of $500,000.
How can that be?
I'm going to forward.
I don't know.
To both of you.
They're not telling us.
There's little dots on every town, and you hover. Don't click.
Don't click.
Hover.
Don't click. That's right.
Tried to click. Yeah. Couldn't get it. And it'll tell you.
It tells you all the towns in Vermont that got money. Because of the whole state.
Tell me. Okay, so I'm going to be right, like, so, who did the other towns around us who got more money, did they have the same person working with them that we did?
That I don't know who her towns were. So everybody in this area would have had NVDA. And I don't know how many. She had like 30 towns. She told us that. Mm-hmm. She had like 30 towns.
I would assume they would have assigned her geographically to the
town.
Yes.
I mean, you would think. I mean, I would think.
Yes.
But that does beg the question, how the heck does Jay get more money than we do when that was renovated?
They're doing three buildings. They're getting.
Oh, wow.
Well,
okay,
so they're doing their town.
Oh.
All three of their buildings, their garage, the recycling center, and that. Right?
So that makes sense.
They have a brand new garage. Up and
down. They have a lot of problems with that.
See, here I am thinking, so it's not apples and oranges. We're dealing here with one building,
right?
Whereas they're getting the close to 500 for the three buildings.
Right.
So what they're getting for their town clerk's office is probably very similar or less than what we're getting,
right.
Which
you,
then makes sense.
Well, what Terry is forwarding to you will show you that because it will have their three locations. listed separately.
We're good here. You've got to have it on desktop.
Okay.
Remember, I went to the desktop. I can't even.
Yeah, because I looked at it.
Did you get it on your phone?
Yeah, I got it on my phone.
So we could have gotten closer to the 500 had we had another building, but the point is that we would have been really, we would have been really focused on this one.
Right, and
initially,
the village got their $466,000 for one building.
Which still doesn't make sense. It is a bigger building, though.
It's a bigger building, but that's almost entirely roof and solar panels.
Wow.
Almost entirely roof and solar panels. So they paid full boat for a roof for that massive building.
Wow.
So what did they take off of us? This is the list. This is what we did. We had electric. $12,000 electric. That's in here. The roof and electric was under other or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's $42,000 that we had under other. That's the roof to support the solar and the electric to support the solar installation with the solar and the battery and the EV charge and stuff. Right? We had doors and windows. Pretty basic stuff. Attic insulation. Basic stuff. The solar that they recommended. The ADA bathroom is down here with this 20%. It's not really here. We had the mini splits, which they wanted. We had the ERV, which they covered. We had a high efficiency propane boiler, which they covered.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the scope of work.
Mm-hmm.
The overhead door is part of the envelope. We had LED lighting, which they specifically asked for.
Had to have.
Right?
Yeah.
And that is it. Because we tried to get everything that fit into their.
Okay, so this totals 540.
Yeah, so we tweaked it a little bit to get it down.
So
under 500.
In order for us to bridge between this and this is where the ARPA funding comes in.
Yeah.
And do we have enough ARPA funding to cover?
We have 200.
We have 227,000.
Okay,
so we have
227,000.
So we do, except that the hope was because this doesn't cover all the renovations to the building because some of it didn't fit under the purview of the grant, that some of the ARPA money could go towards the part of this renovation.
Getting rid of the decking, changing the entrance. And
so
all
we
that.
May not have enough money.
No. But, you know, we can say, okay, we're not doing a battery.
Exactly.
Right? There's 10 grand. We're not doing an EV charger.
Yeah, that's
there's
the other thing.
Right.
We need to start going and just really, like, okay,
yes,
we're not doing X, Y, and Z if this is the way it is. Mm-hmm. But if all of this was included in that, then what, right? I mean, the only message that I get is they looked at our cost estimate and figured out that we overestimated.
Right, but that's certainly not.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying, but that's.
But if you look at Jay's three buildings that were in there, you know, and they paid everything to them. They have three buildings, and they paid 100% because they're getting just under. Like $495,000 or whatever they're getting.
Or, okay.
And none of this here is outrageous.
Uh-uh.
Right?
This
is from their quote, right? This part of the job was all quoted.
Okay, so here's a crazy, crazy, what if they looked at the village and the town and they said, okay, we gave X to the village, so that means
for lumping us together as a
that's
could be
possible.
I mean, all they got to do is tell us. I mean, it's
and that's
you know,
what
do that, just tell us.
That's absolutely right. That's just it.
Instead of this cloak and dagger stuff.
But if you
just
sign that
us.
Contract, are you telling them we're going to do all that?
Well, according to Carter,
no.
No, good.
Wow.
But you have to use the money for what is on the list.
How could you be like, I got this,
a big difference. I'm not going to be able to get all of these things done with.
Because they didn't tell us what they weren't going to cover. They're telling us they're going to cover all of this.
So could we get less solar panels and make it 75 instead of 124?
Well, I think we should do, yeah.
I mean, is that a thing?
Do what?
Get
less panels?
Get 75,000 worth of panels instead of 124?
300.
Yeah, I think the 124 covers the battery. I think this bit, the battery is in that 124.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Like he says, have we ever done something and it's just been unbelievably perfect? any project, engineering, anything that ever is just smooth. Too good to be true.
Yeah, because we're getting 86 solar panels. Because here is the scope of work of everything we're allowed to do. And if you compare that to that, it's the same. Nope.
There is definitely something wrong with state to government. I'm just sorry to say that, but I mean,
Absolutely. This
is insane that you. So, I've helped to write NIH grants for millions of dollars, and you got to have, and you get an award letter back that tells you if you didn't get the award, what was wrong with, very clearly. And I was on a panel that for the U.S. Department of Agriculture this past spring to look at, the farm to school initiatives across the United States. It was awesome. But we had to rank order them. And by God, they knew here are your strengths and here are your weaknesses. How can a state ask for grant applications, give you less money without addressing, this is crazy.
So she did say that some of the towns that got less, right, it was because of the ADA had to be 20%.
So she suggested it as a possibility. I asked Doug Wells about why could I get clarification as to why, and he said there was a lengthy process of scoring and refinement in the process. The grant money can be used for the scope of work. While I can't speak specifically to your project, I can say that most adjustments were made because they were requesting something different than the assessment recommendation or deviated from the program funding rules like 20% ADA, etc.
So he mentioned the scoring. That's where they highlight where you went off the rails.
Exactly.
So this is not, right? So they did do it.
And
so
we sat here with Carter, and she said, this is good, because we could look at how we scored.
That's right.
And we scored on everything.
See,
right?
That's the key document is the scoring sheet then.
Yes.
So we got to get, and they're not going to let us see that for whatever reason. I mean, again, USDA.
That's exactly what you told me. That they are not releasing the scoring matrices.
Yeah.
That's
period.
Period.
Boy, that's really transparent, isn't it?
Yeah. So South Burlington Fire Department's getting a good share, though, because they need it. They don't have enough.
Well,
in the South Burlington Fire Department, they got a big chunk for something.
Well, listen.
When it wasn't even supposed, it was supposed to be the higher burden towns that can't any afford to ever do anything. And
well,
you know,
the PCB thing, Burlington High School got $16 million off the top before anybody else had access to the money for PCB remediation. The, you know, North Country Union High School has spent $7 or $8 million just to get into the building, and you haven't even taken care of. I mean, this is temporary, you know, like you take the caulking out and you re-caulk stuff. Now they're going in to see whether or not the PCBs have gone into the concrete, and you know, what if we need a new North Country Union High School? I mean, this is what this is all reminding me of. It's this, you know, we got you covered, and then, oh yeah, I guess not. This is pretty sad. But anyway, I'm thankful for the 334, and I think the community should be, right? I mean,
yep.
At
well,
least
that's what I said on the phone to her. I said, we're going to take it.
More than nothing. It's more than nothing,
yeah,
and thank you so much.
No.
But it's just disappointing that it's not more transparent, and that, you know, we're not being given information to, you know, as to where we, you know, could have increased our funding so that we could have lowered our energy burden more. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we made a motion. Did we second?
No.
So motion by who? Sorry.
Motion by
Justin to allow him to sign this.
To authorize me to sign it.
I will second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I'm sorry. Thank you for all your work.
Yes.
I've been frustrated
now for days because I can't. I mean, it's just crazy.
You know, I used to do in business, the same business.
No, you wonder, right?
Okay.
You wonder.
Babysitting course. Speaking about frustration.
I sent an email to Shira today.
Yeah.
And basically, I, because she had sent me an email about, well, did you hear? And so I wrote back saying that it was disappointing, but, you know, in all fairness, I have not reached out to Cadence, and I have not reached out to Beth. But that being said, I mean, people knew, and we have been given, you know, at least what I felt was support for doing this. I mean, there are other school districts that offer the babysitting course, and so, you know, I just sort of, can't we just offer it? I mean, you know, like, I don't know how to set up a babysitting course, so I guess now I have to, although I was going to before, but I'll have to contact Beth, and I'll have to contact Cadence, but more specifically, what I need to know is how these other school districts manage to get this into their Encore program. Like, what is it that you have to do that?
Does the school have an Encore coordinator that?
Yeah, it's Cadence. It's Cadence Pepin. I mean, Eric thought it was a grand idea, but so I don't. Okay, so it didn't get in. So I don't know why. I have no idea. I did ask Shira, you know, about this whole thing as well. Is, you know, the town does have monies to help offset the cost. So how does that work? So I don't know. More to come.
Yeah.
But we are getting some. I mean, people are saying, what a grand idea.
Yeah.
Beth thought it was a good idea. I thought Cadence thought it was a good idea. Eric thought it was a good idea. I don't know.
Okay, we need a motion to approve the minutes of October 15th.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Holy moly, you've been spending money.
Oh, buddy. While we're signing, I am going to ask to do the Red Cross, what is that, the emergency shelter. Yeah. So I will sign up for that, if that's okay.
Yeah. That's like right in the middle of the day.
Yeah. You know, I don't know how it'll go, but did you see that? There was an email that came out to us about that.
I probably didn't.
You want to
Town stuff delete.
Check. But anyway.
Use a day out of
it. Yeah. So anyway, I thought maybe it would be a good thing to have.
So I recently, probably, if you don't mind me just talking while we're signing bills, signing warrants. We have a resident who is concerned of our tax bills being on the website. For identity purposes and, you know, knowing where people live, if they were to get on the town website and see the tax bill. I explained to him that it was public record.
Yes.
And that anybody could call and ask us. I'm not...
Yes.
I'm not... You know, at first I wasn't sure if it's something that we could, like, the whole tax bill PDF is downloaded, so you couldn't just take that person's tax bill out. And Robert reminded me that there is an app that anybody can go on their phone and can
dealing with fraud and everything, Carrie, I think anything that is in that tax bill is public record. I could go Google your name. I'll know what your address is tomorrow and your phone number.
But is that because of it's on my website?
No. Just I think it's general. Just because it's in general.
Yep.
And I agree.
I mean, I think like the school codes and the whatever else, your parcel law is all public.
It's all on GIS mapping.
We're not the only community. In fact, I would, they all do it.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, if you ever use the knowledge-based security things, they pull, like, questions for security, they're pulling all that information from a public record. I don't feel like having the tax bill out there is risk.
Well, this particular person brought in a piece of mail about a warranty or something, and for them to know his address, he felt that it had to have come from our website, and I find that... You know, there's other avenues possible as
and
well.
In fact, if this person ordered anything from Amazon,
mm-hmm.
ordered anything from Walmart,
anything
mail order, those companies make money by selling those mailing lists. And that's a fact.
Okay. Because it is beneficial to having tax bills online. I send people to the website. It's more people looking at the website. They're getting information. They're on there looking up our online land records anyway. So in doing that, they can also pull a copy of their tax bill, which is awful handy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that make sense, though? I mean, there are so many ways
There's no paper, there's no social.
No.
Nothing like that.
No. Just name and address. They can go to that GIS mapping and click on, and it gives you who owns it, the book and the page, everything.
Like, even if there's, like, some sort of breach as an organization, whether it's a medical, financial, name and address is not considered.
It's not.
You need to have probably two or three other qualifying things. To become or like an incident of some sort. So I don't think there's any there.
Okay.
So thank you. Tomorrow night I will be attending the Troy Rescue meeting as they will be presenting their budget. So
thank you.
You're welcome.
And then with the NEK broadband, we had a meeting. Because we had to approve a budget because we joined, we've now merged with this organization down by Montpelier, and so that was all approved, and so you had to have the budget approved by a certain date. So that was last Tuesday. That was the school board night. And so asked if I would be able to attend. Response was, nope, second Tuesday of the month is school board, right? And I'm the chair, and I have to be there. And so no problem. So I get an email tonight before I left to come here with the agenda for NEK Broadband monthly meeting on Thursday. This coming Thursday.
Oh, no. We should...
Which is my SU board meeting. I have suggested to the NEK Broadband that, you know, when we had it the second Thursday of the month, that's locked in, right? I don't confuse that with other meetings, but the way that things have been going because of this merger, these meetings have just, there is no rhyme or reason. It's like, okay, we'll do it this day, we'll do it this day. And it's just like, you know, when you have people taking on all these duties in these small communities, you can't just be skipping around expecting us to be there.
Right.
I've told you this. You know this. But
yeah.
I'm just like...
Yep.
Oh, no, you're not there yet.
So I feel badly, but... What, you know, what can I do? I mean, it's like, I have to...
Same 10 people, guys.
You know? Now you're going to watch me.
That's okay.
Jeez. For the SU, I have to sign contracts.
So this, it's this one, yeah, it's this one. So...
Oh, yeah, yes.
So, I am... So, in... You tell them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Terry got grant money for elections. That's where these lovely chairs came from. That's where the owl...
Thank you.
And we have more.
We have more.
These are very
many
nice.
More in the vault
Thank
for
you.
After we
yeah.
renovate.
And that's where the owl came from, that meeting thing. And then a portion of that bill was for a new computer for Terry.
Yes.
So it doesn't have to be in the budget.
With two screens because she thinks she's cool.
You should have two screens.
Because this the 11 you can do it easy, mm-hmm. right? And so he said I sell a system with two 24 inch screens, and I'm like, I'm looking at how small mine is, and I'm gonna
Oh, Terry, you are going to love it. You'll never know how you functioned without it. I think that is awesome.
Yeah.
I have
Me
three
too.
Within a lot.
And there's
problem.
Many
That's
times that if I'm in Nemrick looking something up, and then I'm applying a payment, or you know, going in and using a debit card,
and
or
you can
whatever.
You can make four screens. You're gonna be able to flip both of those. You'll be able to split them into four, depending on what you're working on.
So it'll be nice. So, but in talking with him, Windows 10, which is all of our system, and September, and Dennis knows that because he have set us up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, you really need new for everywhere. We'll need to be done by September. So we were going to throw it in the budget for next year. And then he got back to us with pricing. So the one I got was $899 for the tower. And it's new. But he also said there are 1 year or less leases for $399. And
the
so
leases they've been used for a year.
They've been
for
used
a
for a lease for a year. For mine, because I network well because they network through me, I said I'd like the $899.
Yeah.
But for everybody else who they don't need the monitors, They're getting $399, so they're
okay.
getting three. We had leftover money in
yeah.
our budget to get them now.
Okay.
And that way, while he's
Perfect.
Here, he can
yep.
do them all.
Agree completely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's four new units.
And
they
have 1 year warranty on all of them, and he'll, that includes the setup. And
awesome.
So it used, I think we had a, maybe a, not quite $200 that we're going to pay for mine because the grant money wasn't quite enough. $157.18 it's costing us.
It's well worth $100.
And then the other, yeah. I could book one, two, lister expense, you know, assessor's expense because there's money's left over. I booked one to office expense and one to computer expense. So we're not over budget anywhere, and they're awesome. All taken care of.
So just to be sure, so one,
yeah,
two,
yeah,
three,
and one in the lister's office.
Oh, that's the four.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happens to this computer?
Well, that's the question, and we were going to ask that question because we're going to have,
well,
not probably not for a couple months because he's busy, right?
He's busy,
but we're going
to
have four computers,
so,
minus monitors because these.
Oh yeah.
Replacing monitors.
So are these newer than what Mike has at the?
Oh, Mike's is obsolete. I don't even think he can turn it on.
So
does he want to turn it on?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think we need to have one there for him. So one there and one for Steve.
There you go. So Steve has...
He's got...
Steve's got...
Steve will have... He's loaded because he's...
All right, so he's current.
Yeah. He's Troy J. Sewer.
So
he gets got more money than
we so to like me, that. For sure there. And then if we have any left over, then we, you know, have him zero them out and see if he can't find a place for them, you know, for
yeah,
free.
Absolutely.
Just
yeah,
donate
just
them.
Just donate them. Yep. I'd clean them up, wipe them, and then...
But I do think that Mike, they do need one at the town garage.
Yeah, and they have Wi-Fi and everything there. Yeah, from
they definitely need one of these. Right?
Well, I was going to... Yeah, and then maybe he needs to take a computer course.
Well, you know, no. Some of them know how to run a computer.
Well, some there. I mean,
I would
it's
think.
Like a comfort level, you know, and
yeah.
We were
yeah.
talking about that today, and as things move... Like more mobile, like if you don't know the lingo,
yeah.
if you don't know, that just ever changes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can tell you that before COVID, it was not uncommon for you to hear from older educators that they weren't really familiar with or comfortable with using computers in the classroom and all of that. Once COVID hit, everybody was forced
mm-hmm.
into it. So yeah. now that's not even a thing anymore. Do you
yeah,
see?
It
because
is.
It's...
COVID just killed off all the old people. That's how come.
No, I don't think that's
no,
true.
No,
it's they
out of necessity.
Really, they are forced to learn.
Out of necessity.
Yeah, yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
It was an emergency, and that was how we... But anyway, so that's how I see it playing out.
And so, Terry, you're getting a new operating system. You go to Windows... Like 11?
They're
you?
All going to be 11 Pro.
Oh, yeah.
Because they have
I
you know.
So there'll be a cost associated with that, and there'll be a cost associated
yeah.
with having New England.
Yeah. New England Municipal Systems. New England Municipal Consultants. To have the Patriot program and the other program put in, there'll be
yep.
an additional cost there
because sure.
it's not just a regular
yeah, yeah, yeah.
download. He'll have to work with him to get
migrated.
It
migrated. You got
to
get
migrated. Yes,
up,
that's right.
Yeah,
migrated.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so, the question going forward then becomes how often do we do this? Okay, most places have you know
they're on a schedule.
There's
like
a
the
schedule.
Truck.
Yeah.
Every time we get a $5,000 grant.
There you go.
I'll defer to you.
I can ask what we do, but I would say probably no less than every 5 years.
I was going to say, you know, absolutely, you know, not over 5 years.
Yeah.
Not
I
over
say
5 years.
When they come up with a new operating system and you just have to.
That's well,
me.
No.
No, I get
over
it.
I stand by my comment that is your dump truck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
And you know, just like Mike can't do his thing without his equipment, neither can you. And if people are expecting you to do X, Y, and Z, then you need to have the equipment to do it. That's how I feel about it.
Within the municipal world, are there going to be... new programs and platforms that you're required to use that get pushed out that you have to be trained on? I just don't.
Mm.
Or does that stay pretty consistent with what you're already?
Pretty consistent right now, but Nemrick's in the process. They're, as much as everybody likes Nemrick, it's old, old school, and yeah. they're in the process of looking to upgrade that.
Oh,
so
good.
It's on every, I mean, everything
and,
we do is Nemrick, so
that
will be happening.
They take care of that, like, they take care of the updates, and then do they provide you with, like, the training or what new
yeah.
things to look at?
Yeah.
I missed something at work where a whole platform that we use that like completely updated, and I was like, oh my god. So then, right, they update it, then they do a training 2 days later. Well, there was multiple prior to that, so one of my employees comes to me, they're like, I got a problem, I can't pull this report. And I was like, oh my god, this is like completely different. And so, you know, I go and find the documentation, and I'm like, okay, can you work from this? And she comes back, she's like, that was no help to me, but she figured it all out. And I was like, how good for you. So I signed up for the training for tomorrow.
Oh, wasn't that good?
Stay behind, but one of my staff members already has it like figured out. But she's a little bit younger. I'm telling you, it makes sense in her brain.
Mm-hmm.
You
yeah,
know?
For all yeah. the young kids, honestly, they're just.
She's like, it took me like a half an hour. I'm like, I've tried this 3 times from your instructions. I keep messing it up. I gotta go back. But anyway, so tomorrow when I do the training, I'll be ahead of the game because she's
yeah.
already got the work done. So.
It's like asking our 6th grade grandson to,
hey, can you help me with this?
Sure.
So, do you know that Steve Hartman, he shares like all those like heart-filled stories. I love
German.
Steve Hartman. He did a whole thing about
I would like to adjourn.
You like to adjourn?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Move to adjourn. No other business. Nothing with the local health department as well.
Okay.
Over.
He shared a thing about students going